This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This is Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a great start to your day.
Yes, and if you started your Saturday off right with us, you have rightly started your Saturday.
I hear you. Well, I hope that you're having a fantastic weekend. As always, I always like to ask, what did you learn? Did you learn anything new? And were you able to give back? And I think one of the things that I learned this week was that I always have to make sure that I take action. And what I mean by that is that if I have a situation I have to deal with, I need to go ahead and deal with it. I've been actually working on some new certifications, and I've been waiting for the state to get back to me. And they said they needed a certain document, and I know I already did that document and sent it in. But you know what? This week, a couple days ago, I said, hold up, let me do this document all over again because I don't want any issues, so that way I can move forward in the process. So that's one of the things that I learned this week.
I am so glad you learned it. And for me, I'm learning when I have a lot of things going on to pace myself through them. Mm-hmm. I'm the type of person where I'm going to push myself like crazy, get it done. And then like today, I don't feel that great because I pushed myself all week and I haven't given myself time to space myself.
Right.
So if I have like an assignment to do, whether it's getting all my invoices done for my business or whatever it is, it's like, it may be 50 invoices, but I'm going to do all 50, you know, instead of just breaking it up and then taking breaks in between to breathe and to relax myself. Right. Because what happens when I do that, I start to feel overwhelmed. And then guess what? I'm stressed out.
Right. So those are things that we learned. I think those are very good lessons that we've learned this week. But also, I want to give a couple birthday shouts out. First of all, I want to give a shout out to my sister, Lynn. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Lynn. And
we
also, my grandmother, because they were born on the same day. So my grandmother is turning 99 years old today. So, man, I just want to say happy birthday to the both of them. I love them both. And it's just amazing. Grandma almost at 100 years old, almost a century.
Still can make that good rum cake. Ooh, it'd be so good.
And won't give up that secret.
That's right. She won't give it up for nothing.
Right. So, again, happy birthday. Spreading love to my family. And at this time, we're going to talk about our Black History Fact or Icon of the Day, and we're going to talk about Malcolm X.
Malcolm X's strident critique of the nonviolent philosophy of the civil rights movement sowed the seeds for the flowering of Black nationalism in the second half of the 1960s.
Malcolm spent his youth in northern and midwestern cities, but he was profoundly transformed in prison when he joined the Nation of Islam, a religious movement led by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It combined Black nationalism with the Islamic faith and embraced the concept of Black self-defense.
Malcolm X realized that while Martin Luther King was preaching nonviolence and peace, you had to send a message. He was a warrior, he was a general, and they feared him.
Malcolm encouraged his followers to achieve empowerment
by any means necessary. We intend to fire our people up so much until if they can't have their equal share in the house, they'll burn it down.
Dr. King felt that Malcolm's talk of violence was counterproductive and ultimately would, quote, reap nothing but grief.
The Negroes themselves should take whatever steps necessary to defend themselves.
Malcolm X's influence was profound in terms of the way African Americans looked at themselves and the way that the nation began to look at them. It called for Black dignity, Black self-respect.
Malcolm was adamant that words associated with slavery, such as Negro and colored, should be discarded for Black and Afro-American. His theories and his philosophy formed the foundation of the ideology of Black power.
Malcolm X is the key common denominator for all Black power activists. They use his speeches, they use his political thought, both in the Nation of Islam and outside of the Nation of Islam, as a sort of blueprint or framework for their own political activism.
The tensions that had been building between Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm reached a breaking point after Malcolm made a controversial comment following the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, leading to a bitter split. Facing a spiritual crisis, Malcolm turned inward, dedicating much of his time to learning more about his faith, including undertaking the Muslims' sacred pilgrimage to Mecca. Tragically, members of the Nation of Islam would assassinate Malcolm before his new philosophy could gain momentum. But his autobiography would become a key text of the Black Revolution, and it remains a key part of the American literary canon today. From Chuck D of Public Enemy to President Barack Obama, Malcolm X's bold and resonant voice has inspired generations to fight the power. Through his writings and speeches, Malcolm's message to Black people to take control of their own destiny lives on.
At this time, I would like to give it up for Malcolm X.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Feed the Busy Bee, and it is time for the tea. And right now on Sad News, we have Walter Scott, the founder member of the Whispers, passed away, guys, at 81 years old. Yes. And don't you love the Whispers? I mean, the Whispers had songs like Rock Steady, Baby.
Yeah, I remember that.
Let's rock, rock. They had Lady. They had It Is Good to, Is It Good to You? You know, we love that one. And then In the Mood. That was the top one right there, boy.
Okay.
To get you in
the mood. Yeah, that was a hot song.
So that was a hot song. So we had that. And it was just a great thing that the Whispers has done. I mean, they've given it so many people. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have actually, like, performed. Like, they're still performing.
Right.
So, I mean, and he's 81. So, can you imagine the age of the other members? So, he was a founding member. He was a twin.
Right.
So, I know you guys remember the twins, but Walter was one of the twins. So, we just want to say condolences to his family.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's always things that happen in our life that can put us in a bad situation. But it's always a good thing to whatever bad happens to you that you can bring some kind of good out of it.
Right.
And I love that this is Andrea Delza. And Andrea Delza, known as the Seated Nurse, is a trailblazing registered nurse who uses a wheelchair and has become a prominent advocate for disability inclusion in healthcare. She was the first registered nurse in New York City to use a wheelchair. Andrea's journey highlights the importance of accessibility, representation, and challenging society perceptions of what nurses can achieve being in a wheelchair. Andrea was diagnosed with the traversal myelitis at the age of 5 and became a full-time wheelchair user by 12.
Mm.
Despite facing these doubts and rejection, she pursued her dream of becoming a nurse and ultimately becoming a history maker registered nurse in New York City. Andrea is a vocal advocate for disability rights in healthcare and beyond. She uses her platform, The Seated Nurse, to raise awareness about disability inclusion, healthcare disparities, and the need of diverse representation in healthcare. Andrea's story inspires both and inspires and currently nurses with disabilities. So
Wow. She
inspires and has an inspiring way that she kind of goes out and help people. And she demonstrates this by unique perspectives and experiences that are valued through the things that she has done so far in her life. She also educates nursing students, educators, and colleagues on the life experience of people with disabilities.
Wow.
So I think that's so great because there's so many people that go through different things and don't think they can go through nursing
right.
school. I mean, me myself was like, oh, I should go to nursing school, but I have like this frozen shoulder. And I was like, well, they're not going to allow me to go through nursing school. So even reading this is making me, you know, think like, oh, man, she did in a wheelchair. Why can I not?
Wow.
So and it says how much she's impacted other nurses.
Mm-hmm.
It says that Andrea's success as a nurse in a wheelchair demonstrates that disability doesn't have to be a barrier to a fulfilling and impactful career. Her work encourages healthcare institutions to create more inclusive environments and embrace a wider range of talent.
Wow, that's awesome. So we need to probably give it up for her. Let me throw some claps on that because that's awesome right there.
It is awesome.
Talk to your mic.
Totally awesome. And so it's just amazing how you can make something that may be happening in your life so bad that you can make something good out of it.
Right.
And
I love it.
I mean, this is just a great story and just a testimony of what we can do in our lives, guys, no matter what. Nothing can hold us back. All right, the good news right here, huh? Okay, Brandy and Monica.
Okay.
I love Monica's music. I love Brandy's music.
Yes.
I mean, here we're like Brandy and Monica lovers over
right.
here in this house. But I mean, it's been history in the making, right? Because they are talking about getting together and doing a tour.
Wow.
So
wow.
That's awesome. So I don't know about you guys, but you know, Monica and Brandy had this song, The Boy's Mind.
Right.
So that
was a huge hit.
I mean, it was a huge hit. So
right.
That's like the thing that, I mean, everybody was talking about with Monica and those guys. Like, what happened, you know, between them? What kind of transpired? So let me catch you guys up a little bit. So the main issue between Monica and Brandy stemmed from their hit song, The Boy's Mind, released in 1998. Okay, so that's old 1998, right? But this is when all this stuff got started. It says, while the song was a success, it also fueled a media-driven narrative that pitted the two against each other,
Wow. Leading
a real-life feud. This rivalry, it just exploded, you know what I mean? To even a physical altercation backstage at the MTV Video Music Awards in 1998.
Wow.
Now, the word was on the street that Monica punched Brandy in the face. You know what I'm saying? And I can see that. But we don't know if that happened, but I can see Monica doing that. Mm. It says, although they later collaborated on a remix and participated in a versus battle in 2020, acknowledging their past tension, the initial conflict and competitive atmosphere surrounding their careers contribute to a long-lasting strain on their relationship. You know, so The Boy Is Mine and the media, the song, which is about two women, you know, veering off about the same man,
right,
was interpreted by the media and fans as a reflection of real life rivalry between the two singers, we know
that wasn't,
you know, wasn't true and everything. But what happened is the song did so well. It sold millions and millions of records,
right,
and then it stayed on the top 100 billboards as number one for 13 weeks.
Wow.
So you have to understand, like, this was something huge that was going on back in the day. And so I'm excited because they're going to be touring.
Right.
And so just to give you guys a little bit of what they're going to be doing and where they're going to be going, you know, of course, you know, shout out to the ATL. They're going to be there October 31st, Columbia, South Carolina, in November 14th. They're going to be, you know, so many different places. You know what I mean? They're going to be in Connecticut October 16th. Then it'll be in Milwaukee October 17th. I mean, they're rolling.
Right,
October
18th,
Chicago,
the United
Illinois.
States,
yeah, they're
right.
going to be everywhere. Indianapolis. I mean, it goes on and on and on the places they're going to go. And so the question has been, okay, guys, if you guys are doing, you know, this tour, you guys are getting back together after all this bad blood, and versus what's the kind of thing that got you guys together, are you guys going to be making music together? So that's what I'm looking forward to see. No, they kind of, you know, alluded like, yeah, we might be making a little bit of music, but they really didn't get into if they're going to be really making music or not. And so my thing is, like,
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping, and this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
On the tour, who do you think they're going to have come out on the tour?
What do you mean?
Who's gonna be like guests, like on the tour? Like, I was thinking definitely it might be Mace.
Yeah, it might be Mace.
If she wants to kind of make The Boy Is Mine more update, she might have Burna Boy on there.
Okay.
I thought the Boys to Men would be on there.
Oh yes.
I was thinking like, well, Monica, her daughter likes to sing, so I'm thinking maybe her daughter may be on there.
Okay.
With Monica, I'm thinking she might have Missy.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, so they have a repertoire of people they can pull from.
So they have a plethora of people.
Right, because they did incredible, you know, for the music and the collabs that they worked on together with different people. So it can be anybody, pretty
much.
Yeah,
it could pretty much be anybody. And then I think, too, what I was saying, with Monica, you know, having Missy, and so that's going to bring a different element to it. I don't know. I lost my train of thought, but they're going to probably have some great guests on there as well. So that's going to be really cool. So that is my teeth. It's Feed the Busy Bee.
All right. Well, I just want to share a little bit in the political corner. I mean, we all know that we're at war with Iran, we bombed Iran, should I say that? And I don't want to share my views on it all deep, but I don't agree with that, because before we bombed, we should have got approval from Congress, and that's a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. So there was one Democrat who was trying to impeach Trump because he violated the Constitution, and I believe Mr. Green, he actually set forth the paperwork to say, let's start an impeachment process, but unfortunately, most Democrats, 120 to be exact, disagreed that Trump should be impeached. So they voted against the measure along with every single House Republican. So that vote, you know, fell through. But also in political corner, this week has been a very it's kind of sad in a way, because the Supreme Court delivered a major win for President Donald Trump on Friday in the ongoing war with the federal jurisdiction, limiting the power of courts to step in and block policies on a nationwide basis on short term while judges review their legality. Though this case was intertwined with Trump's executive order effectively ending birthright citizenship. Now, if you all don't know what that is, it's like if you were born in the United States, even if your parents were immigrants, you were still considered a U.S. citizen. But now the Supreme Court is pushing back on that, which, again, is in the Constitution. So a lot of different things are going on. So I hope that you're watching the news, or if you don't watch the news like me, but you have to be aware of what's going on, because for me, I can't watch it because I get too engaged, but I'm aware of different things that are going on in the world, because eventually these things will affect my day-to-day operation. It'll affect my child's day-to-day operation. It'll affect my business day-to-day operation, because a lot of these things are not going with or abiding by the Constitution that's going on in this country right now.
Exactly. So. And I think, too, definitely prayers need to go out to the people that are, going through this thing with ICE.
Right.
I mean, you can look like you're from Mexico and they're pulling you.
Exactly.
And like Burrell said, it's about the Constitution. So, Okay, does that mean they're going to start going after black people?
Right.
You know what I mean? They pull our right to have freedom. You know, so I think a lot of times, you know, when this thing is not at your doorstep or not in your household, you tend not to really give it that much thought. But guys, I mean, let's just be praying about these things. I mean, can you imagine someone taking your mother away? You know, or taking your father away, and you're young. Like, these are the things that are going on.
Through.
And, and it's so, so sad. And I know for us personally, we have people in our church, and we just been praying about them.
Right.
I mean, we've got people in our church that's been explored to go to the war. You know, it's like, it's just a lot. And so when it doesn't hit you home in a sense where you can't touch and feel it, sometimes you kind of walk away and you're kind of not aware of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I just hope that by sharing these little things, by you seeing things on the news, it will cause you to have empathy.
That's right.
And really, you know, it'll really be in your heart, and you'll really be praying about these things.
Because this is
scary.
Yeah, right. Because families are being affected. Families are being torn away. And of course, there's legal ways to do different things. But I saw a video, I think on Facebook, where a father was with his kids and ICE came and arrested the mom because she was an illegal, but she was having a panic attack, and the officers didn't have any empathy on her. I mean, they just looked at her and kept telling her to get up. Then they put handcuffs on her and threw her in what seemed to be a paddy wagon. We know which a paddy wagon has room in the back, but this was like a paddy wagon with separate dividers. So just imagine a paddy wagon with five different separate compartments in the paddy wagon. So the lady, she had a panic attack. I mean, it was sad, and the kids were screaming and yelling. But that's what's going on in this country. Like Feed the Busy Bee says, we got to have empathy, but also you got to understand, if they're doing that to Hispanics, they might do it to African Americans. Let's say I'm walking down the street. They say, hey, you look like you somebody from South Africa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You look like you somebody from Brazil or something. It can happen that easily without due process. So this is something that needs to be on our minds. So we have to think about this as well. And also in my sports corner, I just want to give it up for OKC, Oklahoma City. They defeated the Indiana Pacers in Game 7. So OKC is the champions, the NBA champions of the world, and that was a great series. I want to give it up for Indiana because they played. That was a great series. It wasn't a runaway. I mean, Indiana had much heart, so kudos go out to Indiana, but also kudos go out to OKC, who are the NBA champions for the 2024 year. So on this note, we're going to have a break, and my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
Dog child, Mace kid, Harlem on the rise. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I went from Helly Hansen to many mansions. The girls in the Uber doing belly dancing. Spent half of my advancing, jaws from Branson, to make it through my circumstances. But you know I'm wiser now, move like Kaiser. rising now. Got a butter soft cover just to hide my pound. Got a house in the valley, come and find me now. Got enough dough to buy the town. So I might give a six to my chick, Benz to my mom. Crib so big it look like the Synagon. Give her a couch just to spill Henny on. And been a don since Lotto's and Benetton. Come on.
Some people say that I'm not the same girl. They say I think that I'm in my own world. What makes them think that I have changed? Yeah. A little joke and not erase my problems. Be like you, I have to try and solve them. Yes, everything is quite the same. Whoa.
Stop it. What's the use of buying a weight if I'ma have to chop it? I used to love the lady till I learned the logic. She only mess with mates, so the money ain't no object. If it ain't Chris, he won't pop it. If it ain't platinum with ice, he won't rock it. If it don't cost 60, he don't drop it. If it don't come with TVs, he don't cop it. Nigga, stop it.
It's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm here with Better Care For You. We treat our clients like family, and we live to care. Why call us? We take our mission to provide exceptional in-home care in familiar surroundings seriously. Our services are a companion sitter, personal care, and we also work with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. Call us today at 678-900-8397. Again, that's 678-900-8397, or check us out on the web at bettercare4you. That's bettercare4you.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
In your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
When you let go of all the trauma in your life, now you're free from all the pain, free from all the gain, free from all the stress, so find your happiness. I don't know, only God knows where the story ends for me, but I know where the story begins. It's up to us to choose whether we
No more.
Well, that was No More Drama by Mary J. Blige, and it was Sitting on Top of the World by Brandy earlier. And guys, welcome back to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a great time hanging out with us. We're just chilling today and talking about everything that's going on in the world. But also now we're going to be able to talk about something that we all go through. And that's something that we all had to deal with at one point in our lives or another. And we're going to be talking about conflict this morning. And we all face it at work, in relationships, and even with our family. And even inside ourselves, we face conflict on a day-to-day basis. But very few of us know how to actually resolve it. So we're going to get into it today. So what is the data saying about conflict? First of all, according to the Conflict Resolution Institute, now they have an institute for this, 85% of employees experience conflict in the workplace on some degree. So 85%. And also 29% of employees say they deal with conflict almost constantly. So pretty much every single day they're going through it. Mm-hmm. Now, in romantic relationships, 69% of conflicts are perpetual. They are not solved, but they're managed. So basically, if you have an issue with your girlfriend, wife, or husband, you might have that conflict, but you really don't deal with it, but you just manage it. And they said 69% of couples or people in relationships deal with conflict on a day-to-day basis. And also, most conflicts don't happen because people are bad. They happen because people are different. Because sometimes we can think that, man, that's a bad person. But no, they just might see the world different than how you see the world. Different needs, different communication styles, and also different fears. So why do conflicts escalate? Unspoken expectations. I know I've experienced that a whole lot. You know, unspoken expectations and also assumptions. Sometimes people assume that you're going to do something or you're not going to do something, and then a conflict can, you know, arise very quickly. And also emotional overload, that you're just stressed out. So someone says something to you and you just snap, or you just give them a piece of your mind. And also power struggles, and we're going to talk about that later on in the show. Power struggles is a big way of, you know, a big reason why a lot of people deal with conflict. And also, conflict is not just simply a disagreement sometimes or a clash, you know, but sometimes it can be how we respond to conflicts. That's where the sauce comes in.
Wow, that's so true. I think also too, guys, we have to understand that conflict is a timekeeper.
Right.
When I first heard this, I'm like, what does he mean conflict is a timekeeper? And what it means is that it can reach to the present, to the past, or the future. Mm-hmm. You ever had someone you talk to about something and you've moved on from it, but they're still carrying it? So that's what it means. So it means that conflict is a timekeeper. Okay? So I want you to keep that in mind as we're going through the different conflicts and how to resolve them. Mm-hmm. Also too, just be mindful of your disagreements and your disputes with people. Mm-hmm. You know, other people hold on to things, you know, and in that moment, you know, whether you know it or not, like I said, their whole mind is figuring out whether they want to be around you, be your friend, not be your friend. In a marriage, when you have conflict, to whether to say, okay, I want to stay married to you, or we're going to have to work on this and talk about this. That conflict could be, you know, at work, whether you're going to continue to work at that place or whether you're going to just kind of go to work and not give your all, or whether you're going to quit. So conflict is a timekeeper. Conflict is so much bigger than what we think it is. Mm-hmm. And while I'm saying this, I'm sure you guys are thinking like, yeah, you know what? I have carried a lot of stuff with me where I had a disagreement with something, and then it just made me want to not do this, or made me change my mind about this, or made me different in a situation. You know, because the thing about it is, guys, it goes back to we can only control what we control. So guess what? We can only change ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can't change the other person. So this is going to be very interesting to talk about conflict.
All right. Now, when do conflicts show up? And so first of all, conflict shows up when needs aren't being met. All right. When certain needs or expectations aren't being met, hey, that's when conflict can occur. And also when expectations clash. So if I have an expectation, Felicia has an expectation, and both of our expectations clash, conflict can happen. Just a quick story. I remember when we first had gotten married, I thought that Felicia was supposed to cook every single night. Now, I know this is crazy, y'all, but I thought she was supposed to have a 5-course meal every single night. I'm talking about entree, appetizer, and dessert. That's what I thought, because when I was growing up, I don't know how my mother did it. She actually had dinner like that when we sat down at the table. So
I cannot wait to see what your mama said. Your mama probably did. Be like, I'm telling you,
I don't know what she did. I don't know if she froze some or whatever, but we sat down for dinner. She had it going on. So when I first got married, I expected Felicia. We didn't talk about this in counseling or anything like that. So when we got married, probably about the first couple months, I was like, hey, babe, I know you you like to cook, but where the dessert at? You know, where this at? You know what I mean? And I remember we had to kind of work some stuff out because we both had different levels of expectation. Mm-hmm. And then I had to kind of wind back a whole lot because we both worked and, you know, we both had careers. So, conflict can come when expectations clash. Also, when communication breaks down. Mm-hmm. When communication breaks down, and I know this is huge when I don't express how what I want or Felicia wants, and then we both think that we want something, and it can break down very easily. And also, when emotions run high. Guys, when emotions run high, oh man, that's a time where where conflict can happen easily. You know, when Felicia's on 10, I'm on 10, so we're both going at it like this. So conflict can easily occur, you know, in that type of situation. So those are just some of the reasons or some of the avenues where conflict can occur, you know, if you don't watch it. So one of the things that I want to do is talk about types of conflict, because sometimes we don't really understand that there's so many different types of conflict out there. And I don't want to talk about all of them, but let's talk about one. You know, we're going to talk about a few. So we're going to talk about first one is intrapersonal conflict. And I think this is something that a lot of times we struggle with. You know, that a lot of times, you know, when we talk about mental health, it's intrapersonal conflict. Mm-hmm. The conflict that goes on between these two ears and also in that heart. I think that's one of the things that we struggle with the most. Sometimes it's intrapersonal conflict. Conflict within self. Wanting to take the job, but you're fearing change. You know, where you're feeling, where you know that God has told you to go through this door, mm-hmm. but you just don't want to because you're so scared because you don't feel like you can do it. I mean, intrapersonal conflict is real. And also interpersonal conflict. Now, interpersonal conflict is between two people. You know, let's say if you disagree with your spouse, mm-hmm. I mean, y'all going back and forth, that's what you call interpersonal, you know, conflict. And Felicia, feed a busy bee, if you want to just chime in on any of this, you can, babe. You know, just wanted to, you know, let you know that. I didn't want to just wait, you know, wait for me to turn around. And also intra-group conflict. Now, this is a major form of conflict as well. Conflict within a team or a group. Team members disagreeing on how to finish a project. You know what I'm saying? Y'all going back and forth. People go through this on a day-to-day basis where you just don't quite understand. But that's called intra-group conflict. And also inter-group conflict, when different groups within the same organization have conflict. So it can be, you know, the marketing sales team versus the human resource team. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I see is that a lot of times churches go through this a lot. Now, people don't want to talk about it, but churches go through this, especially in our community. You know, where church leaders, let's say if you're a church leader or you've been in the church for 50 years and you're one of the old heads, and now the pastor wants the younger guys to do different things, but you don't like that direction because it's too new age for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can't quite grasp that concept. You can't quite grasp kids rapping on stage, you know, or different things like that. Even though the bigger people, we have to reach out to the youth, but it's hard for you to understand that concept because you want to do things the same old way. Everyone comes with a different perspective. And also just systematic conflict. And conflict rooted in structural issues, a workplace policy that unfairly affects certain people. So we look at what's going on today, you know, like Feed a Busy Bee talked about the ICE. I mean, that situation, that's organization or systematic conflict. I mean, it's bigger and it affects a large mass of people. So that's a lot of different types of, I mean, these are some things that people go through on a day-to-day basis. So
we're definitely going to be seeing a lot of, you know, so therapists, counselors, and stuff, get ready because we're going to be seeing a lot of that going on. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not even talking to the mic. I'm trying to make sure we're doing this social media thing. So I'm trying to make sure that people see me and everything, and I'm not even making sure I'm in the mic. But I think, what were we talking about?
We're talking about
systematic conflict. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be so huge. That's where I was talking about the counselors and therapists and stuff, because people's families have been torn apart. I mean, this is something that is serious. And so they're going to need help, like, going through this. This is a trauma, basically. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to be a lot to, you know, to unravel and help people with.
Okay. So, you know? So I think that's a good point. So what we're going to do now is talk about different things that people can do to deal with different types of conflict, because we can go over conflict all day long, but how do you get through it? What are some of the tools that you can use to help you when it comes to dealing with conflict? Because I know with different personality styles, some personalities don't mind conflict. Hey man, you put on your gloves, you see it, you run up to it, you ready to fight. I mean, like you just ready. But then there's a lot of personality types. I mean, someone like me, you don't really want to deal with it. You would deal with it if you have to, but you really don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we think that avoiding conflict is the answer. So I'm going to play this audio clip, and it's going to be on a radio show. I'm going to play this audio clip when one man talks about the benefit of really dealing with things as opposed to avoiding conflict to look for a resolution.
This is probably going to upset someone, but conflict avoidance is not conflict resolution. Ignoring a problem doesn't make the problem go away. In fact, your silence and avoidance is actually permission that allows conflict to persist. That's not conflict resolution, that's conflict evolution. Remember, peace isn't the absence of conflict. It's the ability to respond to conflict in a peaceful way. It isn't the place we're trying to get to. It's the place we lead from.
I love that.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I don't know if you heard that, but he talks about when you avoid conflicts, you actually allow that conflict to grow old, you know, to grow bigger and stronger. Because basically what happens when you avoid conflict, that conflict never leaves. So even though you say, oh, I'm not going to talk to this person, I'm not going to deal with this. But in the back of your mind, when you see that person, guess who you identify that conflict with? That person. So it can bring you stress. It can bring you anxiety. It can even bring you discouragement. So that's why when you have a situation with someone, if you don't deal with it, what can happen? Because I know there's been situations in my life where I didn't deal with things. And then when I saw that person, you know, I really didn't want to talk to them, or I felt like I want to treat them a certain type of way. But if I just be open and I talk about what's going on, it helps so much more. All right. So another thing, and I know this is another theory, and this is a theory by Mel Rollins, and I know that she talks about the let them theory. Now, this is another audio clip that I want to play that can help us when it comes to dealing with conflict. And her mindset, what she says is let them be. All right. So I'm going to play that one as well.
So I've been using this thing called the let them theory. I love this. I want you to try it. Here's how it works. The next time you feel left out, your friends all go out to brunch together and they don't invite you. Let them. Or maybe the person you're dating doesn't want a commitment. Let them. Or perhaps your spouse does not want to do the 5K with you. Let them. Your company is laying people off. Let them. You spend so much time and energy trying to control other people and getting emotionally worked up about things that are beyond your control. You can tap into peace and true control if you let them be themselves. And here's the other thing. If you let them, people will then reveal who they truly are. And when they reveal who they truly are to you, you now know what you can choose next that's right for you. So let them.
So that is the let them theory. So what do you think about that, Feed a Busy Bee?
I think what she's saying is so great about the let me theory. This is something I've been studying out with Mel Rollins. And, Mel makes really good points, because basically you can't control people.
Right.
You know, in situations and stuff. So I love it, because basically she's saying when you let them, it shows who they are. It shows what kind of person they are. And also, too, the catch to it is when you see the type of people that they are, remember, you can't control them. So remember, it's up to them to change. It's not up to you to tell them to change or make them change something. It is up to them. And so I think sometimes that can be the hardest part for us when we see stuff in somebody or they make us feel a certain way. Mm. That's the hard part. But that's really when you have the power, and that's really when you're in control, when you can control yourself. Because remember, we only control us. We can't control someone else. So how you control yourself is you let that person be who they are and you keep moving. And yes, when you have a lot of things you have to deal with, yes, but that's when you make the decision whether you want to still be in that relationship with that person who did that to you, or be at that job that they did something to you. It lets you take back your power to make a decision whether you're going to deal with it or not. And I think it's harder when it's in a marriage and it's in a relationship, when it's family people that do stuff to you. I think that's the thing that makes it harder for you. But you still have to be in that situation where you just let it happen and you just deal with it as it goes. But I think that makes it a little bit harder with the let me theory. Mm. So I think that's when you really have to make sure you're talking about stuff and talking about your feelings and dealing with your feelings and allowing yourself to let yourself be the boundary, or making sure you're considering yourself in situations to where you don't put yourself in certain situations when you feel like that's going to be a issue or whatever the case may be. This is really just based on the situation.
That's good. And I really agree with the let, because you see people for who they really are. Then I think a key question in that theory is that you got to ask yourself, do I want to let them in my space? Because they have shown who they really were. All right. And I think this is something in business leaders. I know that in my company, I go around and I do assessments with new business leaders, because I want to make sure that they feel that they're compatible with their managers and different things like that to work better with them. But when someone show you who they are, that's something that you got to think about if you want them in that space. And I think another key when it comes to solving conflict is called active listening. All right. I think active listening is very important, because I know when I'm in a conflict, even when I'm in a disagreement with my wife, you know what I mean? This is something that I really didn't do a lot of in a good way. You know what I'm saying? So I had to learn it, and I still struggle with it. And active listening, making sure that you seek first to understand, and then before you make a decision. All right. You're not making these assumptions. You're not assuming, or you don't want to deal with it, but you're actually listening to what people have to say. So if someone comes to you with their perspective and you might be a little agitated, you're listening to them, making sure that you have empathy for what they're saying and what they're trying to achieve. And also, I always tell people, when you're going through a conflict, make sure that you stay calm. All right. You don't want to get agitated, because it's so easy when someone brings something to you, especially if it's personal, or especially if they're on 10, it's easy to get on 10 with them. But I want to encourage you, when you're in a conflict, make sure that you stay calm, even if you have to say 10, 9, 8, or, you know, 4, 5, 6, or whatever it is, to make sure that you keep yourself in that space where you can communicate effectively.
Yeah, that's great.
And also, I statements is really good. You know, like when I'm going through conflict, you talk about how it made you feel, like, I feel this way, instead of focusing on what they've done to you. Because I know in situations where people have come to me, or if I went to someone, if I had a conflict, I tried to set it up where, you know, this is how I felt. Instead of just pointing the finger at everything you did, but these are feelings that I'm feeling right now. So when you talk in I statements, it will help you to have a better picture of what's going on. And also clarify the problem. Ask questions and seek clarity on the real issue. Because a lot of times the emotions and feelings, they get in the way of the real issue.
Right.
You got to figure out what's really going on in that situation.
Yeah, like I see your actions, but what are you really feeling like? Talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then collaborate on solutions. Once you get to the point where you want to collaborate on something, where you feel like it's moving forward, you talk about, okay, how can we work this thing out? You know, you have your perspective, I have my perspective. What can we do to come together to make this thing right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you compromise. And I remember when I was a principal, I remember I would have to do this with teachers a lot. You know, they might be mad at me, but I might have a policy that I would have to enforce, but they didn't see it, you know, on their end like that. They just thought I was giving them extra work. So I remember they would come to me. I thank God I had that open door policy and talk about how they felt. But then I would have to let them know this is the policy that the school has, that the county has. But when I told them that, it kind of flipped the script. That way they understood I wasn't the bad guy. I was just trying to reinforce what I was being told to do. But just having that open communication, that dialogue, it helps a lot. And I think this is very important. Know when to pause. All right. Mm-hmm. Know when to just pause. If you're heated in a conflict, and I've experienced this, like I say, with Felicia, you know, we're disagreeing over something, but just learning how to pause. And I think she does it better than me, because sometimes she'll just stop and say, okay, then. And then I'll be upset because she said, okay, then, because I'm ready to still go at it. But learning how to pause, learning just how to take yourself out of the situation and not pausing in a disrespectful manner, but just, you know, kind of pausing the conversation, thinking about what you're going to say before you respond.
And I think, too, another good thing to do is when you feel like it's escalating, a good way, not so much to pause, but as a way to break their emotion, is to start talking lower.
Mm-hmm.
Start being more calmer when you say things. Mm-hmm. And what happens is it makes the other person think. Mm. Like, why is she getting all low with her voice? Why is she getting all calm? And then they'd be like, oh, because I'm loud. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me get lower. Mm. So it kind of in a way, by doing that, it kind of challenges the other person and helps them to see how they are. You know what I mean? In a way. So kind of like going back to Mel, you let them, because you know what? Everybody wants a form of control. Mm-hmm. But when you can control yourself, that's the ultimate control. Mm. So instead of me matching that energy that person has, I'm pausing. I'm not saying anything. Or I'm just getting my voice lower and adjusting how I want the energy to come back to me.
Mm. Now, you do a good job with that. Now, if you don't know, Feed the Busy Bee, she does a good job with that. I listen to her when she talks to some of her workers, some of her partners. And I've heard when they were on 10, but she's like, yes, thank you. And also, she's quick to, you know, well, we need to talk about that one. Like, what? Sometimes we're in conflict, we want to apologize.
Yeah, I'm quick to apologize, but what I've been learning is sometimes you didn't do anything wrong, so I'm using the apology to keep things calm.
Right.
But that doesn't keep anything calm, because what you want to do is still help the person to see their responsibility in the situation.
Right.
You know, but sometimes for me, because of my personality, I can be someone that considers others better than myself.
Yeah.
I will take on all the blame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I always tell Brill in our marriage, I take one for the team. And I do it in my marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm learning how I don't need to do that, because he's not seeing his own part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm struggling with somebody being big-headed, well, I'm making them be big-headed, right? Because I'm not allowing them to accept any of their part. I'm taking it on myself. Like, oh, right. I take it for the team. And so a lot of times with my employees, I do that. Oh, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally something they did wrong, you know? But I'm trying to keep the situation calm, and I'm trying to make everything work. But making everything work and keeping it calm is not taking on someone else's responsibility.
Right.
Because everyone has a part in something.
Everyone has a part.
Now, if you need to apologize.
Right.
But I'm just saying, I can be overboard because, you know, I'm considerate of the other person. But, you know, not even consider myself and my business. I'm more considerate of them, and that's the problem. And so that's another thing I learned this week, so...
Right, so I think that's good. So because of time, we got to close out, because we got to be off the air by 11 o'clock. But some of the takeaways from this show: understand what type of conflict that you're facing. So when you find yourself in some type of conflict, ask yourself, what type of conflict is this? Am I going through something with myself? If I'm going through something with other people? And also respond, don't react. So don't trust your emotions, but respond and do not react, because your emotions want you to react quickly, but you need to respond in an empathetic and, you know, straightforward way. Also, listen more than you speak. I think this is very important. Listen to what's going on without you giving your input, and then focus on the resolution and not being right. You know, because sometimes the resolution is you might not be right, but you can still resolve the situation. So
that's awesome.
Those are some things. So until next time, guys, you know, I want you to be bold and I want you to deal with your conflict. And hopefully these twos helped you out.
Yeah. Be a peacemaker.
Yeah. Be a peacemaker, not a conflict maker.
And not a conflict avoider.
You're not a conflict avoider.
Because you got to deal with it.
You got to deal with it. Go ahead. So my quote of the week is by Ambrose Bierce. She says, speak when you are angry. And you will make the best speech. No, sir. Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. So I want you to think about that. Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech that you will
ever regret.
So
basically, if you don't want to be regrettable, you need to think before you speak, and don't speak in anger.
There you go.
That's what she's saying.
Speak in love.
Yeah.
So on that note, my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk, and we are Bizzing Out. Ow.
Thank you for listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope. And Fee, the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee, the Busy Bee, on TikTok and Instagram.
Isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.